dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm a very excited Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Really anxious to get basketball season underway, and Jeremy Ward and I come to you here on part one, if you will, of our basketball preview show as we highlight the girls in this segment. And Jeremy, let's just get right to it. Been asking fans for a lot of feedback over the last couple of weeks, and I have had some positive things. People saying they're excited about the upcoming season. Had someone here predicting Uniota. Someone here thinks Southeastern Westfall can really challenge the Lady Shermans. Also had some more what I would maybe classify some negative feedback. One says the league's just not very good in their eyes. They love basketball. They're just saying they just don't know that the overall product's going to be real good. It says, is the girls' basketball league going to be as bad as I think it is? What has happened to the league and girls? I remember fifth and sixth place teams from 10 years ago that would challenge for a league title this year. So, you know, anytime you open it up to fans, that's what I enjoy about it. You get it from all angles. You get some positive, some negative. You get some people that maybe wouldn't even look at it as negative, just being honest. So what I wanted to do, Jeremy, as I welcome you to the show, is I wanted to just maybe put out my take and then get your feedback here in our opening segment. Maybe as a discussion point or a headline. If I were to throw it into a fair, unfair, what I would view as fair for this year's league is a league that maybe is not a great league in terms of the overall product. However, it does have some solid teams, elite players, and potential for some parity the more you go down the standing. So, you know, Jeremy, again, as I welcome you to the show here as we tip off the winter season, maybe just your take on that statement and maybe throw in how you would maybe give an overview of the league.
Well, first off, I'm excited to be here for another season. I think everybody that you know is a fan of the show gets really excited for basketball. You know, we get good response. We have some great feedback, particularly in face-to-face conversations throughout the winter. So I really look forward to another basketball season here. As far as the league goes with girls, you know, things come and go, but when you ask the question, you know, what's happened to the league, you know, I think you see, you look back to the fall, you see how much bigger girls soccer is. You see how big volleyball's become. We've had that conversation time and again. And you see some of the successes in multiple female sports, where I think if you go back very far, the athletes predominantly played basketball when it came to female athlete. So, you know, that's kind of what I look at. Now they're just spreading out a little bit more, and you have fewer kids that are going to put that kind of time into multiple sports.
Well, certainly, Jeremy, we have so much to get to. I think the best thing to do is just jump right into the teams here, and we'll obviously be able to discuss back and forth, and then we'll get the fans involved too as the weeks move along. So fans, next up, Jeremy and I will start putting teams in order. I'll tell you what, a month ago, it would have been pretty easy to predict where we would start, but the preseason has had a lot of people asking purple and gold or blue and white.
They're playing basketball
all around the world. To the beach,
y'all.
Let's go. All around the world. Y'all know this is so dead.
Well, Jeremy, in our opening segment here, I thought I'd just let the fans drive the discussion. And as I look through pretty much all the fan feedback from the preseason, you see three names pop up: Uniota, Southeastern, Westfall. And I think most people throughout the offseason into the preseason are willing to put Uniota out there as the favorite. But I tell you, as more and more people have watched Southeastern come together as a group in the summer and then into the preseason and then even at the Paint Valley Lady Cats Classic with an impressive win over a good Valley squad. They've certainly started to turn some heads. And then, you know, we know the group at Westfall is, it has a nice nucleus back at Wells. So let's just start with that trio. As I look, Uniota, Jeremy, you have the returning POI in our league, Alexis Overly. She averaged about 14.5 a game. Her sister Taylor averaged just shy of 13. So when you look at those two returning together, giving Coach Miller anywhere from 25 to 30 points of offense every night out, and then you throw in just incredible size, not that the Overlys are short, but sometimes you forget how big they are when you consider the size of a Hannah Nelson, a Caroline Thiel, the athleticism, say, of a Caleb Hill, Bree Thomas, Cassidy Weingarner. So it's a mix of size. It's a mix of athleticism, great experience, able to score the basketball, and maybe even perhaps now a year older, maybe even give Coach Miller and his staff maybe a little bit more variety on the defensive end. Jeremy, I just wanted to get your take on the Lady Shermans and maybe an outlook for them this season.
Well, you hit on some key points. I think their size throughout, you know, they've got bigger guards than most, and they certainly have bigger interior play than the majority of the league. Well, all the league. But when it comes down to it, it really is defense. What can they do in the scrimmage area? I just think it's just dominating at times when you have that kind of size in the paint and you can limit second opportunities. I think that's where their biggest advantage is. You know, they don't necessarily shoot the ball extremely well. And you could say, you know, if that improves, if their perimeter offense improves, then they become extremely dangerous. So, you know, it's hard to tell. I think you see a transition over the years from, you know, a more full court, fast paced type of defensive team to this year, like you said, being able to have the variety to go some zone, to do some different things, to really just dominate the scrimmage area.
Well, when you talk about tempo, it takes me to Southeastern here, and I look at Audrey Wheeler and Logan Goble. They return both averaging right around 11 or 12 a game, and now you throw in the really, really talented Ella Skeens, and I know those three alone in their opener combined for like over 50 shot attempts. So I was joking with one of my coaching buddies here locally the other day over at the gym, and he was talking about comparing it to soccer or hockey, getting shots on goal. And when you look at just opportunities to score the basketball, Southeastern didn't even shoot it that well and still scored 57 against a really good opponent. So when you look at the dynamic of Wheeler and Skeens, incredible size and skill, now all of a sudden Goble becomes a lot harder to key on. Mitten is going to get more looks, which it becomes harder to keep an athlete with a motor like Dresbach off the offensive glass. And, you know, Coach Adams done a real nice job here working with these kids defensively in some different schemes, kind of getting them into a more up-tempo style to where, let's face it, if you have some trouble controlling tempo with this team, it's certainly going to be hard for three-fourths of their schedule to even think about outscoring them. So I know Morris and Stewart played some off the bench. It'll be interesting to see as we move forward how much more depth they can develop. But boys, that starting five, awfully talented, Jeremy.
Well, and again, you have some good size at guard and on the wings. You know, I guess what Southeastern has is maybe a little more, you know, maybe a little more versatility to be able to, you know, sure, not only yeah, play really hard, but they have the ability to score from different levels. You know, absolutely, they seem, I guess the one thing that kind of caught me the few times I've seen them, and even a little bit last year, is their willingness to take shots without hesitating. And in girls basketball in particular, I think it's just critical to get shots up. And when you struggle turning the ball over, you know, a bad shot, you can get that rebound, but you know, if you turn the ball over on a pass, you're not getting any chance to score. So just increasing those shot attempts make you so much better. But I think it really comes down to the intensity, and that's what I've seen so far is the intensity that they play with. You know, when you throw in some skilled basketball players, you're going to see a huge improvement this year out of the Lady Panthers.
You know, Jeremy, as I stay on the top three here, I guess the consistent thing I see is great size throughout the lineup and great size at guard play. When you think of Westfall, obviously you have the quickness of Kelsey Robinson, who early in her career scored the basketball maybe a little bit more. Now she's been able to score and create for others with a high assist total a year ago. Stone Rock, so talented at her size. She's almost an accidental double-double, I like to say, every night, to help points and rebounds. She's a great passer, particularly from the high post. And then when you talk about big guards, you throw in Mathis. And now all of a sudden you have the ability not only for those kids to score, but they start to create easier opportunities for players throughout. I mean, you look down the lineup, Kelly Fox averaged 10 points a game last year. Emily Walker's a kid that's been proven to shoot. Now Coach Blue does graduate. Jess Miller, a kid that over the last 3-4 years here has probably scored. I know she told me last year, and I forget, I don't have it in front of me. I'm guessing she scored between 700-800 points in her career. So, you know, that's always a difficult thing to replace. But, you know, this is a dangerous group. Maybe this is the year they get over the hump a little bit, but their size and their skill and their ability to score. You know, we talked about how they've had a lot of winning throughout their multiple sports, and I would think expectations are awfully high for Westfall. Maybe your take on the Lady Mustangs.
Well, you know, you think about the factors we've talked about with the other two teams, and kind of what holds Westfall back or has in the past is the ability for them to play consistent in terms of, you know, their intensity and being able to match and create the intensity necessary to compete at a high level. You know, they've been able to do it from time to time. They've really been able, I think, to compete with a lot of really good teams. But, you know, does that experience this year turn that to their favor, where other teams are going to have to match their intensity? The other teams are going to have to come and, you know, match their effort night in and night out. And I think those are the transgressions you see as teams mature. And if they do that, you talk about the level of success and the championship caliber, you know, that makes them very, very dangerous.
Yeah, before we move on real quick, Jeremy, with the top three teams, you know, to Southeastern, Westfall, you know, maybe just their I guess talent, their overall skill, their ability to score, maybe separate them from, you know, half to three fourths of their schedule. Do you think in the end, the number one factor maybe in determining this year's league champion is going to come on the defensive end, perhaps in the head-to-head battles, figuring out which team can dig in and get the necessary stops?
Well, maybe. I'm just not so sure. I'm just not so sure that the offense is a bigger question. I think with the size and the athleticism that those three teams have, they're going to be able to guard. Now, I understand what you're saying about, you know, come up with big stops and things like that. But I still see as a defense having a huge advantage to that. What I think will make the difference is, you know, can those go-to players get a basket when they need to, or create a scoring opportunity when they need to. I think the offensive efficiency and the production of, you know, being able to shoot the perimeter shot and being able to convert the free throw line and really being effective in the entire game offensively is a bigger key in my eyes.
Well, really good stuff. And I'll tell you, fans, throughout our preview show, if you hear something you want to comment on, make sure you let us know on Twitter or Facebook. You can contact me in the inbox at admin1@svcsportzone.com or give us a call, 740-569-3254. So, I'll tell you what, that's our look at our top three. And fans, stay with us as Jeremy and I will discuss the rest of the pack, including some overlooked factors maybe in sorting out the standings. Well, Jeremy, as we go down the rest of the standings, they've been so mixed up in the inbox. Honestly, I've seen just about every combination you could go with. So I think the easiest way to maybe go through this is just in alphabetical order so that we can touch on each team and maybe look at some of the strengths and weaknesses. So obviously, alphabetically, we'll start here with the Edina Lady Warriors as Coach Skaggs returns here his second season. He has great size in the paint with the Putnams. You have Alexis Putnam and Riley Putnam. Coach Skaggs, obviously, with his background, does a great job teaching the post, and they certainly can cause some problems on the offensive glass, and they're getting better all the time at their feet. I know Alexis, I think, I don't have that in front of me. I want to say she averaged close to 7-8 rebounds a game last year. So when you throw that in, you just talked about shots on goal, so to speak. Yeah. Megan Wilburn is a kid that really has nice size and is able to get the three-point shot off with some comfort and can shoot it just off the line a little bit. I know last year hit on average a little over a three per game, and I know Coach Skaggs returns a little bit of a little bit of experience from last year. Carly Carroll on the backcourt. He's gone to freshman Kelsey Bossert some. I've seen her play here in the early going. I'd also watched her play in the eighth grade last year and has a nice basketball IQ, does some nice things. Rawlings, Lamb, Miller. There's a lot of kids that he'll get involved. And Edina will certainly play hard. They'll usually have a good game plan on the defensive end. The key to them is simply taking care of the basketball. And I know where they've really given fits to certain teams that they've been able to get into the scrimmage area can be with their size and some of the rebounding and some different things. So I think it'll be a giant step forward for the Lady Warriors. Jeremy, what maybe do you see as a key or just your outlook as you see the Lady Warriors start to get more into the fourth quarter, getting themselves some opportunities to win?
Well, the biggest thing this year, I think you'll see last year there was so much of a feeling of being overwhelmed and, a lot of kids being forced to play probably before they're ready. And I think this year what you'll see is a much more mature group every single game out. And they're going to have 20, 23 opportunities to get better. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see just a huge improvement as the year goes on. Really, their ability to take care of the basketball and not turn it over is going to determine, how well they're able to compete into the second half, into the fourth quarter of basketball games. So as they start to reduce the turnovers and handle pressure and basically take what the defense gives them instead of being overwhelmed, I think you'll see them improve leaps and bounds.
Well, when we talk about matchups, we go to Huntington. Edina's kind of a team that would give Huntington some fits in the scrimmage areas I talked about, because you go from a really big basketball team into Huntington being pretty much by far the smallest basketball team you'll find in the league. They are led by a very talented scorer, Ariel Sams. That she led the league in scoring at 16.5 a game last year as just a sophomore. Now as a junior, her backcourt mate returns, Carlon Cox, one of the league's top defenders, great athlete, can really impact the game on the defensive end. The Delana Gregg and Kennedy DeBoard return in the middle. I tell you, Delana Gregg stepped out and really started to shoot the three ball the second half of last year. I know she had a big game in their sectional final upset win over Northwest. Kennedy DeBoard's a kid that really defends the post well, plays physical, especially for an undersized Huntington team. Jillian Snyder and then Ricky McGill returns as well. Jillian's really improved her three-point shots, a real aggressive defender. So the more Cox and Sams can live in the paint, I think you'll see some kids like that really start to blossom. And again, McGill kind of gives them some depth in terms of her being able to defend a lot of different positions. So I guess Coach Snyder returns. He does such a good job of getting his guards, Sams and Cox, in space and giving them the opportunity to create some things. This is a team that usually defends really well in the scrimmage area, but I tell you, it's something that'll be interesting to see if they get over the hump. I think this is a team, Jeremy, that'll continue to get better come January. It's a group that does not play a lot of off-season basketball. You mentioned in your opening about some of the other sports and some different things. So I think you see that a little bit on the offensive end. But maybe just your take is you see a team that maybe accelerated a little bit toward the end of last year getting the sectional championship and now comes back looking to maybe get over the hump and become more consistent.
Well, I think that's a fair assessment. Of course, you have a pretty good feel on that. But as it goes, anytime you have a stable of guards and as they gain experience, I think you're going to see more consistent play, just sheerly with that experience factor. You know, I see Huntington as a team that, you know, obviously they can get after you, and then they're very scrappy defensively. Are they going to be able in the scrimmage area to defend the pass and, you know, knock balls out and get transition opportunities and still be able, you know, picking their spots to gamble and still being able to turn and box out, because they're going to have to collectively rebound. You can't just rely on two or three kids to rebound because they just don't have that kind of size, and they're in the matchups they're going to run into, especially with the top three teams and also with teams like Adine and Zane Trace that, you know, and Piketon that have good size in the interior. They're really going to have to play team defense, which includes team rebounding, to be able to get a few more opportunities. Otherwise, you're looking at situation where the other team is going to get, you know, 8, 10, 12 more shots in a game unless you're doubling them in turnovers. So, you know, I see Huntington as a team that is well coached, well prepared. You know, if they shoot the perimeter shot, they're going to put up some points, and they're certainly going to get after it defensively. But there's a lot of pressure on them with that size variable that forces them maybe to play a little more perfect game, so to speak, if they're going to knock off one of the big girls on the block.
Yeah, well, interesting comments you make there about just the size, not only with the normal things of rebounding and things like that, but just creating shots. I know I'm a big stats guy. I know in the Paint Valley Lady Cats Classic, Huntington took 42 shots as a team. I mentioned earlier, Skeens and Wheeler for Southeastern alone took 38 combined. So it just gives you an idea a little bit what you're talking about. Now, another thing we talked a lot about last year, Jeremy, was the JV league and how in the girls league perhaps it hasn't been given the due credit or the due importance, if you will, just trying to keep the league going and keeping kids developed and moving up. And as I moved to Paint Valley, there's been a coaching change here. Coach Holbert now, as Coach Newland takes over. And, you know, the one thing Coach Holbert did do well, I'll give him credit for, was in having a senior pretty laden group at the varsity level last year, he really invested into his JV team, spending a lot of time with that, keeping a lot of kids together, asking kids to play up and down to make sure that they were getting on-court experience. And winning a JV championship, sharing it there with Uniota, kind of maybe gives Coach Newland a little bit of excitement, if you will, or a jump start coming in. I know that there's some young talent. Lexi Woods has been a name that people are really excited about. She has some size and some skill, is really grown up around the game of basketball. And then she's just surrounded by a lot of length and a lot of athleticism, names you're going to recognize, if not from basketball, just a lot of other sports. Michaela Newland, Serena Gale, Madison Smith, Bailey Countryman. Even going down the roster, when you look back to the JV champs last year, names like Hackworth, Kirkbride, Davis, Reinhardt, these are kids that are really, really athletic kids that maybe basketball-wise are still developing, but man, are they long and they're really athletic. So maybe just be interesting, Jeremy, to see if she kind of builds off of what Coach Holbert had started there last year. Obviously, she's familiar with the group because she was there on the staff. She comes in and can really build off that and really get some energy, particularly on the defensive end.
Well, and I think it's, you know, it's development sometimes just by learning the game. And I think that basketball IQ, you talked about that with Adina, and that's something that they've got to overcome at Paint Valley as well. You just have to have, you know, some of that experience you can gain from playing the game. But when you need to accelerate the process, you really have to do your homework and, you know, go out and watch basketball. And, you know, there's no excuse nowadays to not be able to get something on the internet or watch a game. There's all kinds of opportunities, and just learn a little bit about the game. And I think that can accelerate the learning curve, if you will. And teams like Paint Valley, I think, could benefit from that when you do have kids that are willing to learn and want to get better and you know, have the athleticism and, you know, the drive to play hard. You know, you learn the game a little bit, you eliminate turnovers, you make yourself a little more refined, and you know, you'll see the results.
Well, you're talking about the results and kids moving up. I know that Coach Carino at Piketon also has had some really good numbers in his program. And, you know, they're led by Ashley Lawhorn. She returns as a nice score on the perimeter, and she'll get her backcourt mate back now. Peyton Reuter seems healthy after the unfortunate injury. And then Coach Carino does such a good job of teaching the post as well. His kids get great position. You'll see Ward and Pack and Blanton. And I know Travis comes up from the JV team, nice size. Physical kid like Crabtree will play hard for him. And it'll just be interesting to see how that all comes together, because I think with Coach Carino, what you get is he's able to always blend size and experience, even through some roster turnover. Coach Carino is always a coach that – it's always difficult to win the tempo. They seem to have a style they play, as kids are very well schooled in that. And even with talent like a Pelfrey and Jenkins gone, certainly, Jeremy, the list of names I just read off is going to be more than competitive night in, night out.
Yeah, no question. And again, you talk about interior size and the ability to, you know, gain position in the paint and give yourself scoring opportunities. And I think Piketon will be able to do that. You know, you have a slasher type wing. You've got a little more consistency at the point, you know, with Reuter being healthy. So I think they do have multifacets and a little bit of depth, so that, you know, basically if they can find enough scoring, I think they can be competitive. And they can certainly cause a lot of havoc for the smaller or the more inexperienced teams in the league. You know, they're going to have to get to the free throw line, and they're going to have to limit their turnovers. You know, when I watch them play, I always think, you know, the old John Wooden and play fast, don't hurry.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
It seems like that they play fairly fast, but they don't get in a hurry with what they're doing, and that patience. What comes with that is being able to handle the basketball and make the right decision once you get where you're going. And I think that's the key for them. You know, I think they can get to the right spot, but can they make the right decision when it's there? Because when you have multiple options, you know, you still have to be able to take advantage of it once you get yourself in that position to score.
Well, you know, Jeremy, one thing, too, I think Lawhorn maybe came on some unfair criticism a year ago throughout the league, where she had to start taking over a lot more of the ball handling duties. I'm not saying point guards in today's game can't also score, but, you know, there's certain kids that are a little bit more of a, say, true two, if you will, you know, the off guard.
Right.
And you just see that throughout. I think with Lawhorn doing such a good job taking over some of the ball handling duties, maybe fatigue sets in. She's a little bit easier to key on when she has the ball in her hands to start. I think getting Reuter back there a little bit, certainly going to give them some options with Lawhorn. If you think back a couple years ago where she was maybe a little bit more of a scoring threat, a little tougher to chase down the when she was coming off some screens and so forth. So that'll be something interesting to look at too. Well, we wrap up this segment with Zane Trace, and I guess the beat goes on in terms of size. I guess if I'm looking for kind of something to keep repeating, here's another group with just a lot of size. Coach Jones brings in Tori Edler and Katie Unger and Allie Jones, even some big guards like a Morgan Arledge. Some shooters like a Taylor Woodbridge, I know, had some games last year, and then Ward and Pontius and Pritchard and Smith. So as I go down this roster, obviously the name that's gone from a year ago is Kylan Strawsball, and she was obviously such a difference maker, probably no one player in the league harder to game plan for. She was a complete difference maker. You look at this team, they're obviously going to have to get spread the wealth, so to speak, in terms of the offensive end. But boy, are they big. Boy, are they going to be hard again to score against in the scrimmage area and to get on the glass against.
Well, yeah, I mean, my goodness, you talk about just the physicality that they present, you know, and I think they do have some wings that can shoot the basketball. with him, it's just going to be getting that balance of guard play. And you relied so much last year on Kylan Strasbaugh to create the opportunities for you. How are they going to balance that out and find some scoring, because they didn't score a lot of points as it was, and then you take her out of the mix. That's a lot to replace. So, you're looking at it at a different identity. I still think, again, it's the focus of, taking care of the basketball and being able to perform in a scrimmage area, because you may not have the fast break opportunities that some other teams may have.
Well, Jeremy, speaking of fast break, let's go ahead and segue into our fast break section here as we wrap up our girls preview basketball show. Jeremy and I will take four rapid fire style questions. We'll give a quick response with a quick reason why. We encourage you to play along and let us know your thoughts. So, Jeremy, you go first. I will follow. Bruce, let's go ahead and see what you have for us here.
Beyond the obvious answer being talent, what is one X factor that really separates teams in terms of where you think they will finish in the final standings?
Rebounding. I think the size discrepancy among teams will create some interesting matchups, like we talked about. But defensively, the ability to alter shots and eliminate second chance points, I think will greatly affect the standings, in my opinion.
Well, Jeremy, we're not that far off here. I would say the size and athleticism, again, toward the top of the league standings, you just get kids that can defend more parts of the floor in more ways. You get the ability to make the extra pass just a little bigger, faster, stronger. And then even as you go to the bottom of the league, the difference in size and athleticism throughout those teams is going to really play a part in terms of who can win tempo and being able to play the multiple styles.
What do you consider an overall strength of the league?
I think work ethic and coachability. I see teams, regardless of talent, that play hard. They're trying to play within a system. They're taking directive from their coach. Selfish play and poor attitudes can really derail potential. But I see coaches in this league that demand accountability and hard work. And, as long as you keep your players in check and keep everybody working towards the same goal and, wanting to give the effort, good things are going to happen. And overall, regardless of talent, I see that.
Jeremy, I think I'll go with the tough half-court defense, some of the physicality in the scrimmage area on the defensive end. Now, it may be a different style. Some teams might do it more with a man-to-man. Some might do it with a different type of zone. But throughout the league, I think when teams are forced to sit down and defend you in some way in the scrimmage area, offense is usually pretty hard to come by. And so I think that's going to be something that's going to be a strength of the league throughout 1-8.
On the other side of this discussion, what do you consider an overall weakness of the league?
Well, for me, it's shooting. I can see scoring, as you said, being hard to come by for many of the teams, top and bottom. Some of that is just because of limited options, and if your number one option, your main player, is taken away, do you have somebody else can pick up the slack? What do you do if you're not hitting a perimeter shot, or what are you doing if your post player gets in foul trouble? And do you have another way to score points? But I think all in all, just the shooting, because some of these more talented shooters are forced to take a few more shots and gain a little more attention. They're having trouble taking the types of shots you can have success with. And I think we do have some streaky shooters in the league, but for the most part, shooting and shooting percentage will be a weakness.
Jeremy, I'll even kind of lead up to the shot with some of just our dribble pass catch in terms of the five spots throughout the lineups. I had a chance to watch the Southern Hills League preview from start to finish this year, and obviously the SBC did not have very much success against them at the Paint Valley Lady Cats Classic, and I thought that was a big difference. Why? I think early in the year here, you see maybe the inability to create shots from more than one or two spots on the floor, and so I think along with what I said with the great half-court defense, I think struggling with some of the just dribble pass catch, and then as you said, the shooting just kind of leads to some poor offensive play.
For our preview Liar Liar Stripes on Fire, what will be the number one thing the officiating will influence in the league this season?
Now, I'm a little surprised that this has made it all the way to the bottom of the show and the bottom of the docket, and I've been given a pass until this point, but anyway, Hopefully player skills will improve. I think with the rule changes and this and that, it's not really a rule change as much as it's just points of emphasis and trying to regain control of the perimeter. We talk about what's happened to basketball, what's happened to girls basketball in the SVC and this and that. But I think, the downfall has been just overall player skills with the ball. But if the defense has to play, with their position and not, by steering the ball handlers with their hands, and the ball handlers can control the dribble and their bodies to create space, and the game's going to improve dramatically. So, how all that's done and the role of the officials play in that, like or not, I suppose it's a big deal. So if that happens, then it will be up to the players to improve with these skills if they're allowed to actually use them.
Well, Jeremy, I know we'll talk about this a lot on the show throughout because fans will want to talk about it in the Liar, Liar, Stripes on Fire segment. But I guess it's going to be the official's interpretation of the emphasis of the hands on the ball handler. I think back to Straw's ball last year. I mentioned her earlier. What a difficult player to try to defend as a coach, because if you got the wrong officiating crew, you could put her on the line 17, 18, 19, 20 times, where if you had a crew that at least let you put your hands on her and try to almost fight her out of the paint, you at least had a chance. So if you do get a crew that says, yes, we are going to call the illegal hands and contact on the ball handler, can a Sams, can an Overly, can a Lawhorn, can a Wheeler, a Skeens, those types of players get themselves to the free throw line 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times? Because a lot of those kids I just mentioned have proven in their career they're going to shoot at 75 to 80%. So in a league where you just said it yourself, maybe offense tough to come by, certainly a chance to maybe get some free ones. Well, fans, that kind of does it here for us on our girls preview show. I certainly had a lot of fun, and Jeremy and I certainly want to get your feedback. Let us know on Facebook or Twitter. It's SVC Sports Zone on those particular social media. And then you have the inbox, admin1 at svcsportszone.com. Or let us know, 740-569-3254. Just leave us a quick message, and Jeremy and I will get you on the show. So I do know upcoming here in week number two, Jeremy and I are going to be taking a look at a series of fair and unfair, some player development questions, some AAU comments, some open gyms, some off season, some shootouts, some camps, a lot of different things. Going to have some interesting thoughts here. So as a final thought, Jeremy, maybe just put a cap on it. Maybe a closing thought on the girls league here as we put this one to bed.
Well, we can talk it all to death, but, I and along with all of our listeners are just really excited to get things tipped off and really get into the meat of the league schedule and see how this plays out, or, to see if we were right about anything.
Well, a lot of fun. Jeremy, appreciate it. Bruce, I appreciate it. Fans, again, make sure you check out the website for the boys show, which will be posted throughout the week. And then, of course, as we move into next week, get your thoughts to us on anything AAU, Open Gym, keys to off-season basketball. We'll certainly discuss that. So enjoy your early menu of hoops, and make sure to join us next week here on SVC Sports Talk. So until then, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all of our sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people at DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Holmes reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.